If we have to classify the ERP applications as per the line of business, then it could be the industry specific ERPs, and it will have its own specific industry modules. So there could be manufacturing execution systems, plant automation, manufacturing production. So it could all be a part of that particular ERP. There could be things like inventory management and control, item configurator, purchasing management, which could be incorporated. Again, if you have to take examples of the line of business types of ERP, it could be marketing automation, merchandising, mobile computing, which is the talk of the town, POS, the Salesforce automation. Then there is e-commerce and logistics. It could be a different nature of business. So say something like Amazon would come under the e-commerce, where the distribution and logistics is of utmost importance. Then there are maintenance management. Then there are certain ERPs which are very finance heavy. So it could be, it could focus on accounts payable, bills receivable, different compliance reporting, contract management, cost accounting, cash workflows, auditing benefits and stuff like that. Then there could be ERP which could be specific to the wealth industry, right? So say for example, someone who manages wealth of HNI customers, or say different kinds of customers, something like a portfolio management service, right? ERP could be made specifically to cater to those needs. Then it could be for data mining applications. Now you have a lot of data, right? But then that data has to be brought to a platform where that data can be converted into information, and that could be, you know, probably leveraged, or it could be sold, it could be monetized, right? So say for example, we all go out and you know, we could enlist our mobile numbers in some kind of lucky draws and coupons, but then that mobile number can be mobile number information along with your name and details can be actually, you know, monetized and sold to someone. So such kind of applications can also be designed. Then there could be things like project management. There could be ERP designed to track your fixed assets, fleet management, healthcare and safety. There could be ERPs designed to have a detailed workflow manager. And there could be simple ERP which could help to maintain only the electronic records. So say something like in a pharma industry, or a typical example is that of a pathology lab, right, which saves the customer records. A typical example, right? So if you go to a SRL laboratory and you do a test for say cholesterol, and if touch wood, if your cholesterol comes high, then what they would do is their ERP system is so strong that after 3 months or 6 months, they will send you a SMS saying that, hey Anuj, your cholesterol was high during January when you first tested it, so now it's time to test again. So such kind of systems can also be devised. So ERP architecture, if we have to talk about, so they are commonly deployed in a distributed manner, right? Now why distributed? So that it has a centralized database, but then the systems are distributed, the clients are distributed, which can feed those workloads in the centralized database, and then make sense out of it, so that the data is present all across and it can be accessed everywhere. Okay, so let us dive deep into understanding how ERP architecture really spans across. We spoke about a distributed system where there are clients and they input data. So let us see what are the different components of a ERP architecture. Now there are three main components. So one are the clients, then there is the middleware or the application, and last is the database, right? So these three components are I would say the pillars of any kind of ERP architecture, and we will have a deeper look at them, how they connect. So typically in so ERP implementation, it could be of three types. One is either a tier 1 or a tier 2 or a tier 3 or a tier n tier architecture, right? So the earliest form of the ERP implementation were the one tier deployments. So one tier was the one in which there was the client, the application and the database all residing on a single server. But then the one tier deployments haven't been many, right? So then there was the two tier design. So in a, typically in a two tier architecture, the server handles both the application as well as the database, and the clients, that is the front end, is responsible for presenting that data and passing the user inputs onto the server. So this is how a typically a two tier architecture would look like. So you have the clients which help to share the information to the application and the database, which is part of the same tier. Next you have a three tier deployment model, or the three tier client server implementation. Now it is simple, right? So we saw the two tier where there were clients and the application and the database were residing on a common server. In a three tier architecture, the database and the application functions are separated. Now why are they separated? Because the ERP by its own nature could be complex. You would have better high availability in terms of the entire solution, right? So that a client request requires two or more network connections here, so that the load is equally distributed. So here is the diagram where you see typically a three tier architecture. So you have multiple clients and they have multiple linkages to different applications. And then there is the central database, which is again on a separate server. So the current, and so we saw tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, and the current generation of ERP are the N tier architecture. So yes, you would have one tier for your database, which is the heart, and then there could be different layers. So you could have a web layer, which is the front end, the app layer, which could be the middleware, and then the database server if it is there in a single location. Then there are the different functional modules that are integrated in the ERP. So we call them as the ERP components. So it is oriented towards common business modules, such as say PP, that is production planning, or material management, sales and distribution, or FI is finance account and accounting, or HR, right? So all these things are integrated in the ERP package as such. And then there could be add-ons. So say from a customer perspective, if I have to add a customer relationship management module onto my central package, I could do that. Or I could add a SCM or a supply chain management, or a PLM, or that is a production lifecycle management into my central application, so that it makes more business sense for me across the value chain. Right now, how do I evaluate a ERP, or for that matter, say when an organization has decided that they have to have a ERP system on board, then how do they evaluate a ERP? So we've seen that ERP could be either tier 1 or a tier 2 or a tier 3, tier 4 ERP, depending upon the complexity. You could have ERP basis the nature of business. You could have different ERP basis the deployment models. So then how do we actually evaluate the ERP? So if you are looking at your first ERP, or even if you want to upgrade from the existing system, then what is really important is to have a vision and a strategy in place. So you should have a very crystal clear business statement that from an ERP, these are the business benefits that I need to drive, right? And So let us now look at the different steps in evaluating a ERP. So first step is evaluation, right? So you could form a core committee, and this committee should be there should be some functional or the domain experts. There could be some end users. There could be some executive sponsorship from the senior leadership team, and then this team should come together to actually evaluate as to what are my business needs, right? You could consider even hiring external consultants. So each and every step is important, and all the inputs from all the stakeholders are important to actually evaluate which is a good ERP. Now step two is, once you've evaluated a few ERP, then you have to make an assessment, right? So this includes actually studying your business, knowing what your existing business is and where is it that you want to reach. So it is basically assessing your current business environment, knowing what is good for you, and then actually figuring out that what is the end state of my business that you want to be. The third is to establish a criteria. Now a selection criteria has to be established, right? And it could be as detailed as listing down the different features to knowing how the architecture would be, what would be the different cost components, and you could, this team could have someone from the supply chain management team for contract negotiations, and then basis the assessment you can have an individual score to the different parameters that you've listed. Fourth step is to have detailed discussions, or you could have some small snippets about how a particular ERP package is better for your specific business as compared to the other vendors. So this should have an in-depth understanding, right? Now, although it is written that arrange a 10-minute phone consultation, but then it is not just limited to a 10-minute phone consultation. You could have a detailed discussion with the ERP vendor to know how or what are the business benefits of that particular ERP vis-a-vis the competition. Fifth step is to create some kind of a shortlist. So it's just like, you know, when you're buying a phone, right, you would create a short list of say two different phones, and then you would then boil down your comparison and you would do a detailed nuts and bolt comparison between the two. So same is the case with ERP. The only thing is it takes time and there are many different stakeholders involved. Step six is to get into a contractual obligation with the vendor. Step seven is prepare questions that address your concerns, right? So what are the concerns that you have, how the ERP gets integrated in your system, and so on. Last step is to actually check for the different vendor references, and this is very important so that you don't fall, right? You have to assess the nature of the business that you are in and ask for references which are in a similar line of business, so that it becomes very easy. As we discussed earlier, the line of business is very critical so that the standard operating procedures, the industry level guidelines remain common, right? And you can have the industry best practices as well. So these are the 8 steps into how do we evaluate ERP. In the subsequent sections, what we will do is we will have a look at some of the ERP which are there in the market. We will see some of the market share and then move on. Okay, so in this slide what we see is the top 10 ERP vendors by the market share. So this is actually a little dated, so I think it's from 2017, but things haven't changed much. So what I wanted to drive through this slide was basically to take you through how the market leaders are shaping up in the market, what is the kind of market share, right? So if you see from the diagram, there is SAP, Oracle, which I've been talking a lot, There are the tier one ERP vendors in the market. And then there are other players. So there is FIS Global, there is Infor. So if you see a lot of Gartner reports, you'll see mention of Infor a lot because it comes out as a very robust ERP system. But then you see a majority of the chunk is by the other players. So who are these other players? These are basically the tier 3 and the tier 4 vendors. So some of tier 2 as well. So we initially discussed that, you know, the tier 2 and the tier 3, tier 4 space is very popular amongst the SMB. So the point that I'm driving is that with the gaining popularity of ERP, and the business dependence on a ERP system or any kind of a enterprise solution per se, even the SMBs and the mid-market customers are now adapting to the digital way of working. And what better solution to cater to the needs than a ERP solution, right? So let us dive a little deep into understanding how SAP workloads are planned, what are the critical building blocks in Oracle system, and let us also look at Microsoft Dynamics as an example. So in this chapter, we will discuss all the major ERPs as I just mentioned, and this will give you a detailed understanding of how the evolution was, the product configurations at each major release, and or probably a milestone in the product development. And what are the market dynamics that have caused them to evolve to the present state, what they are in. So this coverage is intended to enable you or probably enable all the managers, the business managers, or you who will be the future business managers, to take informed decision as far as the purchase of an ERP system is concerned. So the major ERPs. So in most purchase scenarios, the ERP vendor teams generally give you a presentation of what they have to sell. So we discussed that in the evaluation criteria as to, you know, how do we evaluate a particular ERP package. And in most of the cases, it's the ERP vendor that gives you all the information. It's in the buyer's interest to have an understanding beyond what the information is fed to you. So probably do a bit of background verifications, ask for POCs, get industry references, talk to your peers in the industry, get a sense of where the market is heading, get the latest trends, how the things are integrated in the ERP package. So get a firm understanding around those concepts. So this will enable you to seek out the best option and configuration that best fit your needs, right? So we discussed that there is no one solution fits all. So probably your business might need certain customization. So these kind of talks and deeper understanding will help you to actually decide upon an ERP which actually fits your business need. So let us now look at the tier 1 ERP, which is SAP. So SAP, we all know, is a world leader in ERP, more than 50,000 customers all across, and SAP's market leading ERP is a proven trusted foundation. And basically it is targeted towards the high end enterprise, as I said. But then a lot of mid-market and the SME companies are also adapting to SAP. So obviously these companies have a very robust funding because investing into a SAP system requires very deep pockets. So the SAP as an offering, they are present in numerous different industry verticals, many different countries, many different languages. So they're basically the market leaders. SAP ERP leverages role-based access for the critical data, applications and analytics tools, and streamlines your processes amongst procurement, manufacturing, sales, service, finance, HR. So as we said, a true ERP solution integrates with the different workflows, and also it integrates with the different business units in an organization. So SAP basically is designed to cater a solution around that. Plus, there is a mention of role-based access. So we mentioned that each individual in an organization is given a particular role, and it is very important that when a system is designed, the person or the individual gets access only to the resources that he is meant to access, right? So say for example, a sales representative, he should not have information to see the payroll data of everyone, right? So this is the kind of role-based access control that I'm talking about. SAP ERP claims to provide, and these are the claims, right? And to my knowledge, I think most of the claims are met. So the SAP ERP claims to provide integrated, fast and flexible business process and increases the business competitiveness. So the kind of business integration that it provides, as you mentioned, providing a common platform within the organization so that the different functions can interact, the different modules can interact, so it provides a very robust platform. Accelerates the time to market with individualized products and services. Third, it simplifies the corporate structure, the market channels, business scenarios, and the overall management scenario. So, okay, so let us go through all the points and then we will discuss the use cases of each. Then it provides improved corporate resources and asset utilization, consolidates the foundation for the latest mobile technologies, the cloud technologies, and the in-memory technologies. So what SAP drives at is the different business benefits. So basically providing a common platform across the entire organization, faster time to market through integration of the different modules. So in case of a ERP, there are different modules, let's say for example something like a SCM module or material planning, or a finance module, or say something like a HR module. So it basically helps to integrate all these functional modules together and thereby providing a good corporate structure which can be leveraged to get the products closer to the customer and improve the time to deliver the products and services to the customer. So SAP ERP support over 25 industries, as we mentioned, 37 languages, as I was about to tell you, and close to 45 localizations. So in 1 year, SAP has grown above being just a ERP. So what has happened is SAP has just grown beyond a traditional ERP solution, but then kind of it is projected itself as a complete solution provider in the industry segment. So it's like providing entire application support, database, web support, and on top of that the different IT infrastructure that is needed. So SAP, it has projected itself, or basically there is a feeling that it's no longer just a ERP, but then a very essential component of business per se, so without which a business will stop running. So let us understand a few of the business applications and where SAP is present. So the different business applications could be the business suite, the CRM, that is the customer relationship management, asset management platform, the enterprise resource planning, the financial management module that I spoke about, the HR or the human capital module, the procurement, the PLM, that is a product lifecycle management, the SCM module, that is a supply chain sustainability. And then it is also present in the different arenas. So there is mobile as a platform and there is cloud as a platform. So in terms of mobile, the different mobile apps, the mobile app platform to deliver and build mobile applications, the e-commerce solutions just centered around the mobile, the mobile device management, so which takes care of the security and the containerization, the managed mobility services. So a lot of focus on the mobile first technologies that SAP has really adopted to. And then there are different cloud models which provide analytics, virtualization platforms, business applications. You also see on the right there are a lot of analytics in place, so a lot of business intelligence tools, a lot of data warehousing applications, the GRC framework, which is the governance, risk and compliance. So SAP as a product basically is horizontally spread with a lot of different functional integrations. It also caters to a lot of different industry segments, as we spoke about. So SAP today supports more than 25 industry segments, as I earlier mentioned. So few of the popular ones are the industry, that is the automotive. Automotive again is a classic case for SAP workload to be present. Then there is engineering, construction and operations, aerospace and defense. Then we also talk about things like the healthcare or pharmaceuticals, right? So healthcare, life sciences has had some wonderful use cases of SAP. And then there are the traditional old industry segments like the oil and gas, say the public sector, utilities, a lot of mining companies, chemical companies. A lot of telecom companies also have SAP workloads, but then in case of a telecom, the SAP is not implemented as a complete package or an end-to-end solution as such. So probably there might be a few components of SAP which would be critical and implemented in a telecommunication industry. And then there are other service-led industries. So say for example, companies which provide professional services or who are into logistics, warehousing, or retail solutions. So a lot of focus on the services industries as well, and typically the banking and the insurance. So banking, insurance, so if we take the example of the Indian banking scenario, then Infosys Finacle is the banking core banking tool which is used for all the banking transactions. But then if you talk about SAP as a global product, then a lot of banks worldwide also have some or the other forms of integration. So if you see in all the industry segments, you would see hospitality as a sector is missing, because hospitality typically has a different use case which would be, you know, catered by a tier 3 or a tier 4 player. So hospitals would have their own hospital management systems in place, where they would have the customer database, that is a CRM, which could be integrated. Then there would be loyalty programs. So these systems are a little different from the use cases of a manufacturing company. And SAP, mind you, they started their operations through manufacturing, right? So hospitality is a different vertical altogether. So SAP stands for systems, applications and products in data processing, headquartered in Germany, and it was founded in 1972, and today they are the world's largest enterprise software company. So SAP is a well integrated system. That means all the different SAP modules are designed to share the information seamlessly through the entire system, and the transactions are based on a proper workflow that is designed between these functional modules. So over the years, SAP grew from the present preeminent position through its ERP. So and there are four different versions of the ERP which we should look now. So the different versions are, one is SAP R1. So R1 is, you can easily relate to this as the first generation of SAP. So R1, if we have to understand it, why R1? So why R1? Because there was just a single tier of architecture. So we saw it in the previous slides, the architecture of ERP system as such. So in a single tier architecture, there is presentation, application and a database which resides on a single server, and that is the foundation of R1 system. So the R1 was the SAP's flagship enterprise software, was a financial accounting system which was called as R1. Now R1 towards the end of 70s got replaced by R2, and R2 was a mainframe based software package for the 80s and the 90s. Now R2, we understand, so presentation server, it acts as a single server, which is the front end one, and the application and the DB, that is a database, they are part of a separate server. The third is the SAP R3. So R3 again is a client server architecture. It's basically a three tier architecture, launched around the mid 90s. So it was renamed as SAP ERP and later SAP ECC, that is the enterprise core component. So SAP R3, three tier architecture, presentation, is a different server, which is a front-end application, which is a middleware, is a different server, and DB or the database again is a backend, it's a different server. And SAP R3 had a lot of different functional modules that were integrated. So things like human capital or the HR, finance, material management. So all these covering the enterprise business functions were also included in SAP R3. Now there was my SAP ERP all-in-one SAP as we call it. So it's a base form where the SAP's current versions have evolved. So it's a brand for the SMEs or the SMB markets as we call it, right? And there are different functional modules which can be integrated. So something like a CRM, that is a customer relationship management, or a PLM, that is a product lifecycle management, to a SCM module, supply chain management, to a SRM, that is a supplier relationship management, the SAP HR or the human capital, and the FM, that is the financial management. So all these modules, earlier we said that they were functioning in silos, but SAP, what they've done is they've integrated everything, and that's where their core strength lies.